On the Ground is produced by the Global NGO Executive Committee, a storied nonprofit that has for 60 years partnered with the United Nations to guarantee a voice at the decision-making table for civil society leaders. GNEC offers services to more than 1,600 UN-vetted global NGOs, which are on the front lines of tackling the most pressing issues of our time. I'm Adrienne Berg, a member of the NGO Committee on Aging New York and the host of On the Ground. This is Adrienne Berg, and today I am delighted to be interviewing Gloria Blackwell. She is the CEO of the AAUW. She's the main representative to the United Nations from the AAUW. And of course, that is America's largest group of university women. And among her many accomplishments is her 15-year management of the AAUW's highly esteemed fellowship and grants program, awarding more than $70 million in funding to women scholars and programs in the U.S. and overseas. We will certainly be speaking about that. She's been the driving force between the AAUW's signature programs, including its salary negotiation trainings, which has reached nearly 190,000 people nationwide. Pay equity is definitely on her agenda. We'll be speaking about how she does that, how she does her fundraising, and how she reaches out for new members. If these are of interest to you, and they should be, I am so thrilled to introduce you to Gloria Blackwell. This will be our very first representative of a university group. So tell us what the missions are that you've been dealing with and the overall concept of why the organization was formed in the first place.
So the American Association of University Women was founded in 1881. So more than 140 years ago, at a time when, you know, there weren't many women college students. They were few and far between. And it was founded by a small group of women, college graduates, who really wanted to encourage more women to pursue higher education. And so in the past 140 years, they have grown into an organization that now has about 800 branches across the U.S., and as well as 600 college and university partners. It's an organization whose mission is to advance gender equity for women and girls through research, education, and advocacy. And I would certainly say that AAUW has been a very successful organization, and it really evolved from a small group of women then turned into an organization that really advances women's economic security by supporting education, by doing research and advocating for women's rights.
So this is a learning experience right here, because one of the things that you've explained to us is that over 140 years, the statement of the mission hasn't changed. But certainly the focus has. I want to discuss something we call in the trade mission shift. Girls, when this began, was very different than today. So you are really looking at things like STEM careers, women in technology, equal work for equal pay, things that possibly the founders did not have in mind. And the future is going to be even more different. So how do you deal with that within the organization? How do you create your strategies so that this is always current, fresh, and applicable to girls today?
So the evolution of the strategic planning of the organization has really been influenced about what is happening in our world today. So for example, even early on, one of the reasons why so much research was done by the organization was really to sort of dispel many of the myths and the falsehoods about women. One of our first research reports focused on the fact that women were not encouraged to pursue higher education because a report had been issued by Harvard University that indicated that women who pursued higher education would become infertile and not able to have children.
Okay.
So AAUW basically did their research and interviewed several thousand women who had college degrees, did the research and found out that that actually wasn't the cause.
Really?
And there was no connection to that. And so, you know, one of the ways that we have been able to continue to move forward is to really make sure that the organization was being really adaptive, being resilient, and also making sure that the issues of the day were being addressed. So the progress, obviously, you know, that women have made since 1881 is important. You know, when we look at the work that we have done fighting for pay equity, supporting through our fellowships and grants, doing our research around women in STEM, all of those have come about because women have had more opportunities. And so when we look at the ways in which AUW has also wanted to ensure that women can take their rightful place in society, we've also seen that when there is an area, for example, the gender pay gap, where women had not been making as much progress, we really typically would take a three-pronged approach, you know, doing the research, doing the advocacy that's needed to get the attention of legislators, and then also creating programs in order to really shift how women are able to benefit from the results of the advocacy as well. A good example of that is, you know, the gender pay gap. Not only did we do quite a bit of research, The Simple Truth About the Gender Pay Gap is our annual report. We took that research, took it up to Capitol Hill and made sure that legislators understood what the pay gap really meant and the impact that it had on women. And then we had the opportunity to work with the salary negotiation program in order to give women the skills necessary in order to advocate for themselves and negotiate a higher salary. And so it's a perfect example of how not only have our branches across the U.S., you know, gone to the state houses and really made the case for pay equity laws. And now there are pay equity laws in every state, including the District of Columbia, as well as Guam and Puerto Rico. Those are the ways that AUW will take an issue and make sure that it's not just a research report sitting on a shelf, but that it really is focused on activism as well as research and programming.
So you make two points that must resonate with our listeners. One is that you can be politically active without politicizing, so that you're there with the message. But the message is well-researched, not mere rhetoric, and it's an enormous part of successful advocacy. But the second thing that you mentioned, and I want to really delve into this, take a deep dive into this when we come back from our little break, is that you are a membership organization. And so you took what we'll say is a high-level problem, inequality in pay. You brought it to political forums that could do something about it. But then you did something that I think is really unique, and that is train your members. So how I have to, in the minute we have, you have a membership organization. How do you solicit members right now? It's a very large organization already, but you're always looking for new members. And how do you solicit the members?
So we do membership campaigns because we have ways that you can be a member at the local branch level, you can be a state level member, or you can be a national level member. So there are ways to get involved, whether you're just supporting the mission by being a member and contributing to AUW at the national level, or really digging in at the state and branch level. Becoming a member is the only qualification for becoming a member is that members need to hold an associate's degree or higher to become a member of AAUW. Our local states and branches also do branch membership outreach through social media, through local in-person gatherings and virtual gatherings as well. So we're always looking for ways that we can, you know, bring AAUW's mission out into the world. Another large group that we really focus on as well are the recipients of our AAUW fellowships and grants.
Yes.
So over the years, we have awarded over 14,000 fellowships and grants. to scholars, to community-based programs that focus on advancing equity and education for girls. And so they're a huge part of the AAUW community that we also solicit for our membership. But the bottom line is, to become a member of AAUW, we really look for people who believe in the mission and who are dedicated to the mission of the organization. You know, we have branches in every state. They are trained. They do advocacy work. And it really is important because, as you mentioned, there is power in numbers.
There is power in numbers. Now, come back from a little break, I want to continue this part of the conversation because it's so important to any NGO, and that is your Gloria Blackwell's belief, which we spoke about before the show, that people do not realize how much they can do in their community. And of course, she's empowering, the organization empowers the members to get out there and make things happen. We're going to talk about that and make sure that you don't see this as a missed opportunity and how you can grab this important motivation for new members, existing members, by empowering them to get out and actually make change. Don't you go anywhere. And now some news you can use. Did you know that you can create a course and that course can be posted free of charge? They do all of the work on the GNEC course outlines. Yes, it can. So if you are an NGO that has a special technique for strategy, for fundraising, for staffing, for getting your constituents to take part, something else that is really working for you, that you think can be a model for other NGOs, you can create a course. And not only create that course, but you can have it posted for the almost 2,000 NGOs represented by GNEC. Now, how do you do that? Very simple. You go to gnec.ngo, gnec.ngo, and you take a look at the services that GNEC offers you as a member. They include almost 40,000 courses that can be useful to you or your constituents in many areas of learning, but also offer you a platform to put on your own course. We're back, and we are with Gloria Blackwell. Now, Gloria has been speaking to us and inspiring us, too, because in addition to her role as CEO of AAUW, American Association of University Women, she's the main representative to the United Nations from that group. It's not her first rodeo. She's been involved in change for many years as part of the Institute of International Education. She's managed fellowship programs there, and she's managing fellowship programs also now with the AAUW. Now, this is not her only program, but one that she's very proud of. So I'm going to ask you a question. We will talk about the role of the individual in the community in a moment. I did want to ask you one thing about the fellowships. You are managing a very precious thing, which is an endowment. And it's so important that everything is done the right way, so that this endowment remain around, first of all, financially, but also that it carries the prestige that was meant by the original folks that did the endowment. How do you make your choices on the fellowship awards?
So our fellowships, which started in 1888, that's when the first American Fellowships Award was given.
Right.
And our first international fellowship was awarded in 1917. So both of our fellowship programs are over 100 years old.
That's pretty cutting edge thinking, I would say, for 1917.
Absolutely. And, yep. You know, one of the guiding principles has been that AAUW wanted to support women in moving forward in not only their scholarly careers, but also across sectors. And so it's really been focused on ensuring that we are providing women with a way not only to pursue academia, but also to elevate them throughout sectors and to make sure that we are meeting the needs that they have in order to be successful as they pursue their degrees. So we have a very, very transparent, but also very competitive process. We bring together very high-level reviewers who do the selections or make the recommendations for our fellowships and grants. We also ask those who would benefit from the fellowships to make sure that our program is meeting their needs. Obviously, throughout the years, the needs of women in academia or the women receiving funding have changed. And we always want to make sure that we are being responsive to that. You know, there we are one of the few programs that actually, you know, provides funding for childcare, for example, because childcare had certainly been an obstacle to how many women were unable to complete their college degree or to pursue a graduate level degree. And so our group of experts, who consist of individuals across sectors, they bring their expertise. We also obviously have a great advantage because we have such a rich group of fellowship and grant alumni across sectors, and they actually participate.
So they are scouts.
Yes, they participate not only in, obviously, marketing the program, but also they serve on those selection panels that really have the gist of the meat that is needed to be able to make that determination about who meets the qualifications and who really is going to be someone who is going to sort of make sure that the mission of AAUW in advancing their scholarly desires or advancing their careers is going to be met. So it is a very rigorous process. And we also know that we have an obligation to those who provided funding to AAUW, whether it was 100 years ago or whether it was 5 years ago. We are incredibly professional stewards.
Yes, that's the word I like to use when it comes to
stewardship. We're very clear about donor intent. We make sure that the money is utilized in the way that it's supposed to be utilized. And it is one thing that continues to have individuals really support AAUW and our fellowships. We have a very strong and a very robust endowment, but we also have been entrusted with other funding for AAUW for those who understood all the great work that we have done, all the great stewardship that we have done with our fellowships endowment, and how they have now entrusted us with funding as well. And a good example of that is Dr. Nancy Grace Roman, and who provided AAUW with a bequest to utilize for our STEM work.
Yes. Now, you see, the idea of stewardship, I do want to bring that home. Many people don't know me personally, just as the host here, but I'm a lawyer. Do not hold that against me. And what kind? A trust and estates lawyer. And I can tell you, as all your NGOs, you must be careful about your stewardship, or the money will dry up, the litigation will come to the lawyers. But more importantly than anything else, as you're hearing from Gloria Blackwell, you're a brand. Every NGO, every mission, every organization or association has a brand, and that brand, if it is associated with good stewardship, will attract the funding. People say, oh, it's so difficult to fundraise. It really isn't. You know where the funds are going. You work it correctly. You honor your donors. You heard all of this in the narrative that Gloria just gave us. Now, let's go back to what I think is the essential here, and that is a membership organization fueling and educating each member to go and make a difference in the community. So I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm doing it in a very particular way because I think we can all agree that it's important. One of the things that you've added to your mission is outreach to girls and women of color. Now, not only are you outreaching, but you have to attract them. You have to show that they that it's worth their while and their time, that they can make change, not just for themselves, but for others. So how are you doing that very important inclusive research, finding the people, going to them, and then really attracting them to the organization?
When we work with our STEM programs, one of the things that we have found is that we really trust the research. And the research was telling us that we really needed to focus not only on the girls, but also on their caregivers, on their parents. And reaching out to that community for AAUW was not so much of a challenge because our fellowships and grants are very inclusive, and we are very intentional about having a diversity, equity, and inclusion lens on all the work that we do. So we know that we have funded such a large number of women of color who have become incredibly successful in STEM, so they are an incredible resource, and we utilize them as STEM ambassadors. So the program itself was built on knowing the audience that we wanted to reach girls of color, to reach their parents, to reach their caregivers, and how could we make that happen? So one of the first mechanisms was to utilize the resources that were right in front of us, our fellowships and grants alumni, to make sure that we could bring a myriad of STEM careers and experts and individuals that could really demonstrate how their motivational and inspirational story could get girls to think about the possibilities for their future in STEM. And that's been very critical to making that happen. And of course, like most other organizations, we utilize our communications and our marketing team to make sure that we're getting out into across the United States and targeting the communities where we feel we need to be. I think that widening opportunities for women of color is critical to us because they still face a disproportionate share of barriers, whether it's lower numbers of those who are pursuing STEM careers, whether it's higher numbers of those who incur student loan debt, right, or higher numbers of those who face a pay gap that is not closing as quickly as we would like.
Yes,
and so, when we're advancing women in STEM fields is really critical because the progress in STEM has just been painfully slow. We now have about 35% or so of women as STEM students. We've only gotten a very small percentage, maybe about 2 or 3% increase in software engineers, only maybe about 26% of computer-related jobs overall. And it really is a field in which we really need women in these fields, not just because they pay more money, but we need the creativity and the innovation of women to be displayed in something.
Right, and the worldview. People, particularly with AI, do not realize how important the worldview of the people, the actual flesh and blood people, it will be in advancing AI. Now, before we take a little bit of a break, when we come back, I do want to talk to you about another hat that you wear, and that is the UN representative from your organization and what that means. We have a lot of high-level people who listen. They have been invited to be representatives of their organization. They may not realize fully what that entails, and we're going to find that out. Don't you guys go anywhere, because here's some news you can use. UNIDAP, the United Nations Day of Older Persons, has just ended, took place on October 2nd this year, with very important sustainable development goals for the older adult, including the connection of intergenerational support, intergenerational working together, and even age-friendly cities. So if you want to know what happened at that organizational event, if you want to be part of the next one, very simple. You can go on the website of one of our GNIC NGO members, and that is the NGO Committee on Aging-NewYork.org, and you will discover the report on what took place at UNIDAP. You can join the organization and work with that organization on a convention for the human rights of older persons. And now, let us go back to Gloria Blackwell and discuss what it means to be a representative at the United Nations. Okay, Gloria, we are back now. And I'm a UN rep from the International Federation on Aging, and you are a United Nations rep, and it's probably very different, the two things that we do. So what's your involvement? What does it mean to you to be a UN rep from your organization?
So from AAUW's perspective, it is really a continuation of our rich history of global engagement. AUW's history goes back literally to the founding of the UN. And so we have roots that are incredibly deep. And for me, it truly is an honor to be affiliated with an organization that has, you know, been there for such a really, really long time. And AAUW members played a critical role. You know, we have a member who helped found UNESCO. We have a member who was the sole woman in the U.S. delegation at the San Francisco Conference in 1945 that created the UN Charter. You know, we have a former member who was, you know, helped found the Commission on the Status of Women. So it's kind of a lofty burden to be
yes.
following in the footsteps of these women. You know, we also were co-founders of UNA USA and the Working Group on Girls. And so those are pieces that we continue to have engagement with. So our philosophy really is about ensuring that AAUW's voice is heard on issues that impact, you know, global humanity, and particularly we focus on gender equality, on women's economic security. Those are very important issues. We work with also making sure that our voices are heard in areas where it really is important for the UN to focus and where they've been elevating their own voices. So our partnership with Lehi is critical as well. So we take an approach where we participate in the Commission on the Status of Women. We are members of NGO CSW. We are members of Congo, members of the Working Group on Girls, as well as the major women's major group and the Women's Caucus. So that coalition work is really important. We make sure that we certainly produce a written statement and also have a parallel event at every CSW. And the stars of our events are always our fellowships and grants alumni
uh-huh.
who are working in careers. Some of them, you know, several work at UN Women or the State Department or other globally related places, but also because we know that the focus is on so many careers. For example, you know, we had three amazing STEM digital tech individuals who did our panel back in March. So we can draw from a very rich pool of resources because what we want to do is continue to make sure that the ways in which AAUW works, the way that we do our research, the advocacy that we do, is not just about women here in the United States, it's about all women. And our international fellowships have supported about 4,000 women from over 150 countries over the years. And they are just an incredibly rich resource for us. So we take it very seriously. And our partnership
before we leave, I do want to make sure everybody knows where to find you, because we may be able to get some new members as well. What is the best website for them to look at?
Oh, it's www.aauw.org. And there you can find out how to become a member, find more information about the partnerships that we have with global organizations like the Lehi University, where AAUW has two United Nations youth representatives who represent AAUW at various United Nations functions focused on increasing outreach, development, activism of the population upon which we are the future of this world really rests. And we've had a very strong partnership with Lehi now for about 5 years or more.
So it's very impressive that a 140-year-old organization can be up to the minute dealing with the issues that make a difference, making change in the right places, and continuing to build its membership, its prestige, and its effectiveness. Now, this is what our show on the ground is all about, focusing and featuring our groups such as this. And I thank you so much, Gloria, for being with us. And you know how I end every single show. Get out there, kids, and make it happen. This is Adrienne Berg saying goodbye for now from On the Ground. See you soon.